We are always in need of exhortation, brethren and sisters, and I'll invite Brother Luke, please, to give those words to us.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning again, brothers and sisters. Thanks ever so much for that that cake. It was something out of Bake Off out there, wasn't it? It was absolutely lovely. So tomorrow's reading leads us into the story of Joseph, and what a story that is. It's a spectacle of an account, isn't it? Lots of emotions. But I think we can actually decipher the story of Joseph into two parts. Now, those of you who are here this morning can see that I'm obsessed with structure, right? So the structure of Joseph is another simple one, just like creation, it's split into two. And it seems pretty logical, doesn't it? Because the first half of Joseph's account is all about bondage and slavery. And then if that's the first half, it's the second half that speaks so powerfully and profoundly about salvation. And the whole point of this great story, this great account, is coming from bondage into salvation. Let's just open our Bibles and have a little look at Genesis chapter 37. Because I think there's a lovely summary here that's taking place in verses 15 and 16. All about coming from bondage into salvation. It says here in verse 15, "And a certain man found Joseph, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren." And I think that really does speak eloquently about this idea of coming from bondage into salvation. Because the middle of this great account is one man, a brother, who through great love is seeking out his brethren to take them from bondage into salvation. Now let's have a look at a bird's eye view now of the scriptures. Isn't this the same pattern? Two parts. The Old Testament, which speaks about bondage and slavery, and the New Testament, which speaks of salvation. And in the middle of these two bookends, we will have one man, a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through overwhelming love is trying to seek out his brethren and sisters to lead them from bondage and into salvation. And of course, when we think of this great man Joseph, we think of all the messianic themes that are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the structure of Joseph speaks greatly about this, a man seeking out his brethren. And what is this man doing then in chapter 37 and verse 2. So this is tomorrow's reading. It says there that Joseph is feeding the flock with his brethren. Now that word feeding there is the Hebrew word for the shepherd. It does translate as this: the shepherd was with his flock and with his brethren. It's the same word translated in Psalm 23 and verse 1. The shepherd leadeth his flock by the still waters. And if there's any person or any job or characteristic in the scriptures that speaks greatly of the Lord Jesus, it's that of the shepherd. And the first account, the first attribute we have of this great servant Joseph, who's just a 17-year-old boy, he's known as the shepherd. A man as Abel before him was the shepherd. A man as Abraham who went before him was the shepherd. His father, Jacob, was a shepherd who dwelt in tents. And here, following on that family business, following on from his father's trade, we have Joseph, who is feeding the flock as a shepherd seeks his flock. It's interesting as well, when he says, "I seek my brethren," there in verse 16, and he said, "I seek my brethren," that word "I seek" here is translated in Psalm 119 as one who loses his flock. And so here the brethren are the lost flock. And it's going to be the role as Joseph being the shepherd that is going to try and retrieve his brethren. And so as he calls out to that obscure man, that unknown man, "I seek out my brethren," here we have the shepherd who is seeking out his lost sheep because his brothers have left where they should have been found. He is finding his brethren. Well, I think the scriptures, and I think this is how the Bible speaks to us, it's yearning us to go to Psalm 23. Let's go to Psalm 23 and look here at the Psalm of the Shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 5. Let's see if we can see some of the echoes here in the story of Joseph. Look at verse 5. The role of the shepherd here prepares a table. Okay, we see that in verse 5. A shepherd prepares a table. Now we know that in Genesis 43, it was going to be the table of Joseph that was going to be prepared for his brethren. Can you remember when they go to Egypt and he gives them bread? It was on the table of Joseph that they ate bread with him. And here in Psalm 23, it is the shepherd who prepares a table. It also says, the cup of the shepherd runneth over. Now, wasn't it going to be the same in Genesis 44, where it was going to be the cup of Benjamin that was found in his sack? And wasn't it the same in Genesis chapter 41 and 42, that it was going to be the cup of the butler that was going to find salvation? The shepherd's cup runneth over. And Psalm 23 concludes with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what was Joseph going to do to those great brothers? He was going to bring them into his house, that they may dwell there for the rest of their lives. And the pattern of the shepherd in Psalm 23 aligns itself so poignantly with the story of Joseph. But, brethren and sisters and friends, the most important thing is in verse 2, where it is the shepherd who leads his flock by the still waters. Only by going to the still waters can the flock find safety and security and ultimately salvation. And we see those brothers, that they should have been at the place known as Shechem. In fact, Joseph goes to Shechem and finds out that they're not there, they're lost. And when we think of the word Shechem, it comes from the Hebrew word, it means the burden of the shoulder. The burden of the shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9 tells us that the burden of the shepherd is one who carries the rod upon his shoulder. And here, the shepherd Joseph is going to the place Shechem, which translates it as the burden of the shepherd's shoulder, that which is the rod. Genesis chapter 24 and verses 15 and 45 says that the burden of the shoulder is one who carries water. And what is the role of the shepherd? Well, it's to lead the flock by the still waters. The flock have left the waters of truth. They have left the still waters. And do we know, brothers and sisters and friends, what the place of Shechem is? Isn't it the place of Jacob's well? That they had left the place of Jacob's well, which is the place of still waters. That they had left the place in which gives life. Look at verse 17. It says, they departed from Shechem. The idea there, to depart, literally means to pull out. The emphasis isn't where they're going, it's where they're leaving from. They had left the place of the still waters, and now Psalm 23 kicks into action because it's going to be the shepherd who's going to try and lead them back to those still waters of the burden of the shoulder. Well, what's really interesting is, then we look at the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. Can we remember when the shepherd goes out to find his flock, he finds that one sheep, doesn't he? And he carries the sheep back to the flock. Can we remember where he places the sheep as he carries it back home? Doesn't he place the sheep on his shoulder, brothers and sisters? He places it upon the shoulder. And when Joseph, in 40 years' time, was going to see his brethren, after 40 years of desolation and loneliness, as Benjamin walks up to him and he recognizes that his youngest brother is still alive, Joseph weeps and embraces his brother Joseph. Where is it that he embraces Joseph and Benjamin? It says he embraced his brother's shoulder. Because he was the lost sheep and now had been found. And so the burden of the shoulder, the rod of the shepherd, and the great emptiness of that well was fulfilled through the love of the great shepherd who embraced his brothers Well, I think we need to go to John chapter 4. This is when Jesus meets the woman at the well. And interestingly here, where does Christ meet this woman? Well, in verse 5, it says he cometh to Sychar, which is the Greek word for Shechem. So he's at Shechem, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And just to make sure that we're in the right place, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. And here we see Christ meeting in verse 7, a woman from Samaria. Now, if this woman is from Samaria, she is not a part of Judah. And if she's not a part of Judah, she's lost. And so Christ meets a woman at the well who is a lost sheep. And Christ now engages in a conversation with her, because now he finds out that she's from Samaria. Now, if we were looking at the word Samaria, Samaria means the watch mountain. And what does it say in Luke chapter 2? It says there that the shepherd keeps watch over his flock. And Christ's eyes now are fixed upon this woman of Samaria, who is a part of the lost sheep. And he's watching her, and he notices that she's at the well of Jacob, the place of still waters. And now Christ, the great shepherd, fulfills Psalm 23 as he leads this woman to the still waters. Because she says to him, she says, I'm thirsty. And Christ replies to her and says, drink of me, because I will give you everlasting life. If you drink of the true waters of life, you shall never thirst. Now, what's particularly interesting about this is that Shechem is in the place of Ephraim. Judges 20 and 21 tells us that. And the name Ephraim means to be fruitful. And the reason why Ephraim was so fruitful is because Jeremiah 31 tells us that it was the place of vineyards. And so this woman of Samaria now is at the place of the still waters, and she's eyeing up the shepherd who's engaging in a conversation with her, and all around this woman are vineyards. And she says to Christ, I'm thirsty. And Christ speaks to her, I am the well of salvation. And in that area, as he says those words, we have the vineyard. And what does the vineyard speak of? It speaks of the new covenant. What does Psalm 1 verse 3 say? A plant by the still waters beareth fruit in its season. And in the place of Shechem, where that well was, that woman saw the vine. She saw the new covenant. And she saw that through the waters of life, we have a plant bearing fruit, the fruit of righteousness, as we were discussing earlier. It is the vine. And those lost brethren that we meet in Genesis chapter 37 have walked away from the still waters. They had walked away from the vine of Christ. Have a look now in verse 17, because it tells us where they went. It says that in verse 17... The man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them at Dothan. Now, if Shechem was the well of life, right? Do you know what Dothan means? Unbelievable, isn't it? This is. Dothan means the place of the two wells, or the double well. What does James tell us? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the word unstable comes from the actual Greek to become lost. Hey, it's amazing, isn't it? And so now those brethren had left the well of life to go to the place of Dothan, which means the double well. And Joseph is saying, they've gone to where? They've gone to Dothan. So he goes now to try and find his brethren in order to retrieve them back. And look at this in verse 24. It says that the pit, or the well at Dothan, was empty. I love how the scriptures work here, because it just emphasizes the fact how empty this well was. It wasn't just empty. It goes on to say, it was empty, there was no water in it. It didn't need to say that, did it? But God is emphasizing the fact there's no water in this well. And so those brothers now have found themselves at an empty well because they have stopped following their shepherd. Isn't it interesting that it's always the younger brother that ends up being the leader of the family? Isn't that interesting? The younger brother, Jacob, Abel, Christ was the younger brother. Because he had another brother called Adam, didn't he? And now Joseph, the younger brother, is now going to lead his elder brother into salvation. Isn't this the same for us? My older brother, not my literal older brother, but my older brother and myself is 30 years of age because I was born in 87. My younger brother is 12. And it's my younger brother that needs to lead my older brother into salvation. It is the spiritual brother that has to lead. And now the spiritual brother, Joseph, has got to lead his elder brethren into salvation. And they're at the place of the double well. Now, if they're at the place of the double well, it means there's two wells. If the one well was empty, what were they going to do with the other well? They were going to put Joseph in that, weren't they? It's no longer empty now when a man's in it. Joseph, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, was placed in a pit. And it was going to be that pit that was going to end up bringing salvation to those brethren. Now we're going to look at a description of that pit in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. And verse 22. Can we remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? She was at the well that was surrounded by vineyards. And it was a fruitful well because she saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a well filled with living water. Now Jacob is giving a blessing to Joseph. And we see a description given to Joseph. And Jacob says to Joseph, you were put in a well. And this is the description of it. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. If we were to look at that word fruitful and followed it to Psalm 128 and Isaiah 32, the idea to be fruitful is the idea of the vine. And so when Jacob speaks to Joseph, he's calling Joseph the vine. That you were placed in a well. And you gave salvation because you were by the still waters as the shepherd. And by the still waters, you bore fruit in your season. And you are the fruitful bough. You are the fruitful well whose branches run over. And then he speaks about him being separated from his brethren. And that word separated is used in Leviticus as a vine that has been cut. And so the head of Joseph was like a well that was a vine. I think that's absolutely lovely. He was like a plant by the still waters, bearing fruit in its season. And when we think of the vine, when we think of the fruitful well, isn't that the very thing that leads us out of bondage into salvation? Isn't it the well of the vine that takes us from slavery and transforms us into salvation? It's the vine of the covenant. And I think now, finally, the Bible is begging us to go to John chapter 15, which is all about Christ speaking about himself as the vine. And the question I'm going to ask is, can we hear Joseph in this great account that Christ calls himself? Those brothers had left the fruitful well at Shechem only to find them there back again at Dothan. If they'd left the fruitful well at Shechem, they found it again with Joseph because he was the one leading them there, as Christ does with us. Verse 5 of John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Would you agree that it is the same description as Genesis 49 verse 22, where it speaks of Joseph as the fruitful bough whose branches run over? And now Christ gives a description of what those branches are. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And the point being here, that every single one of us in this room need nourishment from that vine. What were those brethren going to eventually do in Genesis chapter 44? They were going to go to Joseph and ask him for nourishment because he was the vine. They were going to go there because they were hungry and they needed feeding. And isn't it interesting that when the sack of Benjamin was open, we have there wheat and a cup. Bread and wine, brothers and sisters. And so when those brothers came to Joseph for nourishment, for food, they were given the cup and the wine, and they were given the bread of salvation. And it's at that point where Joseph unleashes himself to his brethren and grabs the shoulder of Benjamin that they had found redemption, because the shepherd is seeking out his brethren, leading them from bondage into salvation. Without Christ, we are nothing. In verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I think that is so pertinent about Joseph. All Joseph wanted to do was give the same love that his father gave to him and give it to his brethren. We know in Genesis 37 verse 1, Jacob loved his son Joseph. And Joseph, that 17-year-old boy, just wanted to share the same love with his brothers. And isn't that Christ with us? That all Christ did was give the same love that his father gave to him, that he gave to us. And he did so in amazing love. Verse 18, the world will hate you, but know that it hated me before it hated you. Genesis 37 says three times that his brethren hated Joseph. And Jesus now, the spirit of Joseph, speaks about the same hate. And then he says, verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. You know, when those brethren left Joseph in Egypt, and after he hugged them and embraced them, he says to them, go back to your father. And then he says, but don't argue on the way. He knew that those brethren had the propensity to argue. And he's saying to them, just love each other as I have loved you. And isn't that just the spirit of Christ? Isn't that the spirit of what we are trying to achieve as disciples of Christ? And I think we try and overcomplicate the uncomplicated. Because living the truth isn't really knowing about Bible echoes and chiasms and structures, although they're great. And faith building, the essential stuff about living like the Lord Jesus Christ is to simply share the love of Christ to each other. And only once we do that, says Christ, that you're at the well of still waters with the vine. Because only through the vine can we understand what true love is. And Jesus now says in verse 13, to hit the nail on the head, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And as Joseph laid his life down in that pit, so the Lord Jesus Christ lay his life in the tomb. And only through that love can we ever think of coming out of bondage and walk together as brethren and sisters into salvation. And we do that through bread and wine now.